specifically.
I love that.
Okay.
So our topic tonight is, can women dress up as men on Purim? Can men dress up as women on Purim? The title here of the source sheet, obviously, is very telling. Men are from Venus and women are from Mars. That's obviously the opposite of what we usually say, right? That's the question. Cross-dressing on Purim, what is the halacha? So the first question I guess I could ask you is, have you ever done this yourself, or do you know anybody that has actually dressed up, let's say,
yes.
Anybody that's a girl that has dressed up as a boy on Purim? You know people that have done this. Okay. You do know people that have done it. Okay, you know people that have done it. So basically, you have different ways of dressing up, let's say, for a man as a woman. So let's say a man would dress up with, for example, he would wear a skirt. Okay, that's number one. Let's say if he wanted to dress up as a married woman, so let's say he put on, like, you know, a tefillah or a shetel or something like that. Okay, let's say a man put on certain kinds of makeup or lipstick that are specifically for women. That would be another question. The other way, also some examples for women. Let's say you have girls, and I've seen girls dress up as chassidic, okay? Not just the boy dresses up as a chassid, but a girl puts on a shtreimel, or a girl puts on some sort of black hat. You know, she puts on payas and a beard, you know, all these kinds of things. So these are all going to be questions. What's the halacha on Purim? Are you really allowed to do that? So we know people do it. The question is it okay or not? Everybody understand the question?
Yes.
Okay. So before we start, what would you think is the basis for this type of question? How would you deal with this question? What way would you look at the question to try to figure out whether it's okay or not? It will be the issue that you have to figure out. And why would it be okay? Why would it not be okay?
Because God gave us who we are for a reason.
Okay, that's true. Let's translate that into a halachic point. What's the halachic point?
Whether
what's the prohibition? Second.
Whether it's a mitzvah or not.
Good. Okay, so mitzvah, let's you mean prohibition, like isur, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what that's what you mean, right? Good,
yeah.
That's what you mean. All right, so there is a prohibition in the Torah for a man to dress up as a woman and a woman to dress up as a man. Anybody know what it is? If you don't know, you can look up the source sheet. It's source number one. You should be familiar with this pasuk, I hope. Lo yeh kli gever al isha, v'lo yilbash gever simlat isha. A woman cannot have kli gever, utensils of a man, which could refer to things, you know, wearing certain types of army uniforms in war, or the halacha, the way the halacha understands it, any other types of garments that are men's garments only, exclusively men's garments, women cannot wear them. A man cannot wear garments that are women's garments. Ki to'avat Hashem Elokecha kol oseilo, because anybody that does this is considered to be an abomination to Hashem, your God. So this is the pasuk. This is the pasuk we know. We call it Beged Isha, Beged Isha. Right? That's the prohibition. So now let's try again. So why would you say, based on this pasuk, we already know that it's prohibited to wear, I guess, clothing that belongs to a man if you're a woman, and vice versa? What would be the question about Purim? Why would Purim be or not be any different? Anybody?
Because
take a guess. You don't have to know the answer. I want to see what you... Yes, Barbara.
Because you dress up in costumes, and you could be someone who you don't want, who you really want to be.
You could be someone who you really want to be. Are you saying that you want to...
No.
No,
I
understand.
Yeah, you could disguise yourself and you could disguise yourself.
So we know, very good. We know that there's a concept on Purim of dressing up, okay, of costumes, of not looking as you are. That's how we know the whole thing about the Megillah.
You're dressed according to halacha and smear. Like, a girl can't dress up as a whatever.
Excellent. Okay.
As
it's
something inappropriate.
Very good. Very good. So that's part of the question. Right? We know that there is a concept of dressing up on Purim. There are many, many reasons given for dressing up on Purim. That Purim Hashem, what happened to the Megillah doesn't, what actually happened from behind the scenes, etc., etc. One second.
Sure.
That's clear. The question is, does that also warrant the idea of dressing up, you know, for a man to dress up as a woman and vice versa? So you already gave me the reason why maybe it's problematic. Okay, you can't, there's still issues of tzniut. We still have a prohibition in the Torah. Who can figure out why it might be permitted? Why might somebody say it's permitted? Yes, Aliza, what? You got to go a little farther than that. Okay, Benafochu is true, but is that going to permit a prohibition in the Torah? Is it Doraisa?
Does it have to do with tefillah?
No, not necessarily. You got to think of it. Think a little bit. Yes.
No, this is a bit of a sub-point, but in like a modern society now where men and women's differences have sort of merged a bit more,
right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, how can you say that women's utensils, say for example, even in the Israeli army, men and women, if you're in the same unit, you're holding the same weapon, you're wearing the same exact same clothing.
Okay.
So there's not such a separation.
Very good. So that was actually a major, major shiloh many years ago. It's still a question, but when it started, it was a major, major shiloh. Are women allowed to join the army? And are they allowed to wear uniforms? Are they allowed to wear guns? And all sorts of things like that. It's a major machlokas. Major machlokas. And part of that is related to this as well. The only exception that we'll see is that some Rishonim say that if men and women both wear the same types of garments, then it doesn't exclusively become Begadish or Begadish, and that would make it permissible.
Is it unisex? Okay.
Second? No. It means that there are certain garments, let's say like a shirt, okay, or a sweatshirt. Okay, if you have a sweatshirt. The sweatshirt that you're wearing now, let's say, is that a sweatshirt that, in theory, a boy could wear?
Yes. I guess so.
Yeah, and would it look normal?
Yeah,
more or less, right? More or less. So anything like that would probably be, would not be a problem necessarily, because it's not specifically Begad Isha. It's something which could go for either one. You understand?
Yeah.
We're really talking about things that are exclusively, you know, women, you know, for women or for men. So we can come up with a reason why it might be okay. I need logic here. Okay, think about it for a second. What do you think the reason why the prohibition might be? You know, why this is take place in the first place? Anybody? What's the reason why you can't dress up? You can't look like a man or a woman if you're not. Okay, you want some help? Let's get some help here. Let's look at source number two. Okay, this is Rashi. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, "Lo yakli gever al isha." A woman cannot wear things that belong to a man. Shetehe domel ish, meaning that things that would make her similar to a man. Kedei shetelech ben ha'anashim, in order so that she can walk among the men. She'ein zu elo l'shem niv. What does that mean? That the only reason why she would do this is for what? Anybody know what niv is? Aser hadibrot lo tinaf. Yeah.
Adultery.
Good. So why do you think that a woman might dress up as a man? Only because what? What is she trying to do? She's being adulterous. Okay, she is not being tanua, right? Why else would some crazy woman dress up as a man, right? Only because she wants to go hang out with the men. She wants to go hang out with the boys, right? Why does she want to do that? Obviously, because you know she is not acting properly. It's l'shem niyuf. She wants to associate with the boys when she's not supposed to be. Okay, so that's one problem. Look at the next one. Lo yobash gever simad isha. A man cannot wear the dress of a woman. Elech l'shem bein hanashim, to wear that and then to go and to make himself look like a woman to go sit with the women. Okay, the next case we're not going to go into, the next halacha that Rashi says is about a specific issue of certain areas of hair on the body that men are not allowed to cut off. That we're not going to get into now. Kito avat, look at the last line of Rashi. Kito avat, lo asra tor elo levush hamivim l'day to'eva. Because it says that this is an abomination, Rashi says, based on a pasal, that the Torah only forbade clothing which brings you to a to'eva, to something abominable. Meaning the Torah only forbids clothing which is going to lead you to a case where you might do something which is kmo to'eva, an abomination, such as getting too close to the other sex. Either, again, start with touching, goes further than that, and starts to get hugging, kissing, and, you know, who knows where it could lead. That's basically what Rashi says. So now, based on Rashi, can anybody figure out now what might be the possible reason why it might be okay and important to dress up?
Because that's not the purpose of doing it.
Go on, yeah.
Isn't the purpose of dressing up on Purim is in order to hide your identity for a mitzvah, not...
Good! Thank you! Very good, Tova. So maybe I'm just closing the thank you. Very good. Okay, let's understand this. Okay, this is the reason why it might be okay. And I didn't say it's okay yet, but I'm saying there's two sides here. The sign why it might be okay is because according to Rashi, it seems like the whole problem here is all about why you're dressing up, let's say, for a woman to dress up as a man, because she wants to go hang out with the men. She wants to go be, you know, kmo like a prostitute. Okay, go and hang out with them and, you know, do things l'shem niyuf for adulterous purposes. Now, on Purim, the reason why you're dressing up on Purim as a man has nothing to do with that, hopefully, right? Hopefully. The reason why you're dressing up on Purim is because it's Simchas Purim, right? We want to have fun, we want to have a good time, we want to rejoice, right? Celebrate. That's not l'shem niyuf at all. So maybe you could say that the whole prohibition of Begad Isha or Begad Ish doesn't apply on Purim. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Does it make sense to you or no?
Yeah.
Make sense? You understand? Okay, very good. Let's see, as we go through some of these sources, let's see what we can find here of who says what, how this plays itself out, l'halacha. Look at source number three. This is the Shulchan Aruch. This is the Shulchan Aruch, not in Hilchos Purim, but rather, there's a whole section of the Shulchan Aruch on Yerah Deah about wearing, about this question of Begad Isha. Let's see what it says. Lo tadeh isha edeha ish. A woman cannot dress up with, let's say, jewelry or cosmetics that a man would usually wear. Kegon shetasim v'rosha mitznefet okova. Let's say that she would put on her head some sort of head covering or hat, or some sort of garment or cloak or whatever it is that men usually wear. He says in parentheses, in a place where men usually wear a certain kind of garment. So, you know, a bekesha, okay? She's not going to put on a bekesha because women don't wear bekeshas, right? In some places, men don't wear bekeshas either, but definitely men wear bekeshas sometimes. Women never wear bekeshas. Good? Okay? Or if she shaves her head the way that a man would shave his head, exclusively like a man would do, and not like a woman, it's also usher. And then he says, the same thing, that a man cannot dress up with jewelry or other types of garments like a woman. Makom she'en lo she'no sam hakelim. Okay, if he wear dresses up in certain types of colored clothing that women wear, or gold types things that women wear and men do not wear in that location, then that is problematic. Okay, last line of the Ramah, very, very interesting. Look at this. Hagah, the Ramah says. Here's an interesting question. Okay, let's say that I could tell. Let's say that you want to dress up on Purim. Okay, who wants to dress up here?
Me.
All right. Okay, we're going to take Shira. All right, Shira's going to dress up on Purim. Let's say that you decide to wear a man's clothing. Pick one. Pick some for the garment. Say it. Okay, we're going to say pants. Let's say pants. If you hold that pants are usher the rest of the year, which again we're not going to deal with it directly here, but we'll see the two sides. Let's say you want to wear pants, or let's say you want to wear,
a kippah.
Kippah, okay, or payas, right? So can I still tell you that you're a woman? Can I still tell you that you're female?
Yeah.
Probably yes. Let's assume that I can still tell you're a female. Let's say it's very, very obvious. Just wear some payas or you wear a hat, but it's very obvious who you are. Is that still us or not?
No, because if you were going back to the while it's a prohibition,
right,
for committing adultery, you'd still be able to tell that the person's a female. So therefore, she wouldn't be able to get away with hanging out with the boys for a reason.
So therefore, you would say that that's okay.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, so that's one side. Maybe you'd say that it's okay because she can't really get away with hanging out with the boys. It's very clear that she's still a girl. Maybe you'll say that that's the reason why it's prohibited, but maybe once you do it, it doesn't matter. Okay, even if you can still tell, but the bottom line is, once you actually commit an action of taking one garment and putting it on, you violated the iser. Yes, maybe the reason doesn't apply in that case, but maybe it doesn't matter. Once it's true that the reason is why the halacha was instituted, but once it's instituted, it's across the board, right? So look at the Shulchan Aruch here. Look what he says. He says, even if you put on just one thing, just a pair of pants, just the payas, still usher. Even though I can still tell that you're a female, it's still awesome. So that's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, very, very interesting. Okay, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Now the question is, how are we going to apply this to Purim? All right, Jackie, with us? Yeah. All right. So let's look at source number 4. This is a very interesting source here. This is the Mahari Mitz. Okay, one of the Rishonim. He has a whole tshuva here all about Purim. Now listen to this. Very, very interesting. Al dvar libishas hapartufim. Partufim are, by the way, masks, costumes, right? Okay, shenagin lebosh bachorim begamim tulo. That the custom is that bachorim, okay, young men and young women, zekenim nerim bepurim, elders and young people wear on Purim. He nera isin shekfar pasak lahatir aavim morim arav el yakim segel. He says, I have already seen that a very close friend of mine, Rav El Yakim Segel, one of the other Rishonim at the time, he already said it was okay. He basically tried to explain, publicized his ruling and explained why it was okay. And he says his proof that what he's saying is correct. As if Hashem himself came down and told us it was okay. Somebody that questions what he said, it's as if they're questioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina itself. That's pretty strong language, right?
Yeah.
He says, I'm also going to try to bring a proof that it's okay. He says, what do we see that all the great rabbis and their children and their daughters and their sons and their sons-in-laws and everybody, they all wore these costumes and dressed up. The men dressed up as the women, the women dressed up as the men, right? They all did it, right? All the great rabbanim and their families all did it. Right? If there would be something wrong with what they did, don't you think that the rabbis would have said something? Okay. Now again, I know it's true that not every time in the school if people do something that's wrong, the rabbis tell you, but certainly great rabbis of the generation, they're dealing with the whole community, their own families, their own sons and daughters. Don't you think they would have said something if they thought it was us, sir? Don't you think? Probably, right? Probably. Again, we're not talking about modern orthodoxy today, where the rabbi is scared to say anything because he might lose his job if he criticizes his community. But back in those days, for sure, for your family, of course he would say something, right? He says, "A kal chomer isr lav." Certainly, when isr daraisa here, of course he would say something. El avada hayola had raya. It must be they had a proof. B'samach shehetar gomer who, and they assumed that it was completely permissible, and there's no problem with this type of garment on Purim. The question is, what was the reason? What was the heter? Why do you think it was okay? So you know what he's going to say? Basically going to say more or less what he said before. Let's look inside. He says, I cut out a bunch of the parts here. It was a little bit longer. But basically his point is more or less what we said. He says that, and then he quotes again, the smog is one of the Rishonim, also say the Mitzvah Gedolah, has the same idea. Lo yavash gever simar isha devechavanat halev halavim elu tzvi. Anybody know what that means? That everything depends on kavanat halev.
Intention.
Good. What does that mean?
If you intend for it to be like as like cross dressing or whatever, then that's what's like. If you intend to like be like a girl, then that's what's going to be.
Not only do you intend it, but why do you intend to do it? You want to do it because
that's what you want to be.
Exactly. You want to be a boy. You want to go hang out with the boys. L'shem niyuf, right? That's the whole thing is based on. Ali says the smog nami sphere, the smog also holds like a number of sources that he quoted previously that I left out of the tshuva. To ain't over mishum legal bashel of mitzkarin lini uf. The only time it's prohibited is when you have in mind for it to be for adulterous purposes.
So is it saying it's okay if you want to, if your intention is to be Muslim?
Yes, that's exactly what the Maharim is saying. That's correct. And he gives another example also. Has anybody, let me ask you a question. Okay, let's say I would come here on Purim, on Shushan Purim, and I want to have a little fun. Okay, so what am I going to do? So I'm going to go, I won't go upstairs, because that's not Sanuma. But let's say I'm down here, and Elise is down here, and she has, you know, she has her computer here, and she went off to the bathroom to go get drunk with her friend or something for a few minutes. Sorry. Oh, come on, she didn't get drunk yet. Let's say I sneak the plug out of the wall, I take the computer, and I run off with it, and I go type something, and I go fiddle around with it, you know, things. The next thing, 2 minutes later, Elise comes back, her computer's gone. What happened?
You stole it.
I stole it. Was I allowed to do that? Let's say afterwards.
That's just stealing.
Let's say not at that. You won't take the computer. I want to play around. I take your phone, okay, or I take your drink. Oops, I just spilled your whole drink. Oops, I just damaged your phone. Now you got to get a new one. It's interesting. Do I have to pay for what I did? Do I have to give it back? And do I have to pay for what I did?
Yeah.
So the answer, halacha l'maaseh, the answer is probably yes. However, in the Rishonim, there's also a discussion of the Rishonim that he quotes here at the very end of the Maharim, at the end of source number 4, the last two lines. Look at this. It's mikol makom bizmano mishum simchat Purim. Again, I cut out a few words here, but what we have, you can get the idea, that at the time of Purim itself, during the day of Purim, because of simchat Purim, lo ikrei gezel. It's not called stealing if two people sort of grab things back and forth from each other. Okay. Again, I don't know. He doesn't necessarily mean a large, you know, a big damage, like a lot of money that's lost, but something, you know, small little things. There's grabbing things back and forth for Purim fun. He says that's not a problem of gezel. Because the reason why you stole, I didn't steal because I wanted to drink your juice. I stole because I wanted to have a good time. I wanted to, you know, do some tricks, right? Ula harviach, right? It's not done for stealing or to make money. El mishum simchat Purim, because it's simchat Purim. He says, that's mutter. And the Ramah quotes that, by the way, also in the Shulchan Aruch, we'll see in a minute. The Ramah also quotes that, even though, again, halacha l'maaseh today, not so simple today.
So you'd be okay stealing someone's car if you just want to, like, put
if you just took it for a, if you just took it for a joyride. Let's say you wanted, you stole the keys from somebody's car, okay? Took it for a joyride, you drove around, you know, Rechol Rabbanav, Shir, around Kiryat Yovel, you know, you blasted some, you know, speakerphone on top, blasting Nachman Guzman or something like that, you know, one of those funny things. And you come back, and, you know, come back and put the gas down. Was that mutter? Are you allowed to do that in a normal situation? Can you just take
like
somebody's car?
Killed someone and then he came back to life on Purim.
So that was a case where he got drunk. That was a case of drunk of getting drunk. That's a whole separate discussion, which we're not going to get into now. Okay. That's Ad Lo Yada. Okay, that's also a very, very interesting case. Here we're not talking about him. He's totally sober. But he's having fun. He's having a good time. Are you allowed to go steal somebody's car, even if you intend to return it a few minutes later and not do anything bad with it? Just drive around the block? Is that okay? No, that's not allowed. For sure it's not allowed.
And it's illegal.
And it's illegal. But on Purim, according to the Maharim, what do you say?
It's okay.
He might, according to my arguments, he might say it's okay. He might say it's okay. Say again?
There's too many exceptions.
It seems that there are certain kinds of exceptions on Purim. That's what it seems like. And again, halacha l'maaseh, I'm not telling you that's okay. But in the Rishonim, there are definitely opinions that seem to say that it's okay, and there is what to talk about here. So he says the same way that for stealing, it's okay if it's done in Purim spirit. Hachinami says, last line, yidon, so too for us for cross-dressing. Lo shna is the same thing, no difference. Kiyoch Adam is kind of a new fellow of Simchas Purim. As long as it's for Simchas Purim, I shouldn't say anything goes, but a lot of things go. Okay? Everybody understand what the Maharim is saying here?
Yeah.
It's pretty radical, right?
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. Okay. Very good. That's the Maharim. Let's see what happens in the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Purim, in source number 5. Yes?
How old is that?
The Maharim? I don't know exactly when he lived. Maybe about 700 years ago or so. He lived before the Shulchan Aruch. I mean, he was one of the Rishonim in the Ashmaz lands. So, yeah, it was approximately 700 years ago. I don't remember exactly. Good. Let's see how that comes down to the Shulchan Aruch. Source number 5. This is the Ramah talking now. The custom that people have to dress up and costumes on Purim. The gever lobe simat isha, the isha kli gever. And men dress up as women dress up as men. Eini surba davar miachar she'ein mechavnin el simcha bi'alma. What does that mean?
It's not a problem.
There's no isur because the only intention is for simcha bi'alma, just to have fun on Purim. Very, very interesting. And then he goes a step farther. V'chein levishas kilayim d'rabbanan. Anybody know what shatnez is?
Yes.
Shatnez is? Linen and wool together in a garment? That's usur. There are certain cases where it might not be usur d'oraisa, it might be only usur d'rabbanan. He says here, shatnez d'rabbanan might be permitted to wear on Purim. Now that is wild. That we're not going to go into now. Okay, that's even more radical than what we're talking about. Anyway, that's the first opinion. Okay, why is that opinion? Because we saw already, it's only for simcha, it's not for niv. Very good. Then he says, v'yesh over de usur. What does that mean? Some people say that it is usur, meaning it's a machlokas. It's a machlokas. Aval hamina kisvar harishon. What's the custom, says the Ramah? The first opinion, that is, okay. So according to the Ramah, there's two opinions. I mean, he says the custom is to follow the first opinion. Now, this is going to be an interesting question today. Do you think the custom is to be allow this or not?
No, it seems like it's undermining like other like things that are usur most of the time, just for one day of the year. You can all of a sudden steal and do God knows what else.
Very good.
Me?
Okay, Tova's making an excellent point. Even if you want to argue that this is technically okay, but it seems to be going against a lot of values that we try to build up the rest of the year, it seems wrong to just sort of drop these halachas on Purim.
Some of the fundamental like beliefs of Judaism seems to be you can break on Purim.
Excellent. That's a great point, and that's a major problem. That's something the post-Kim were really bothered by. Okay, if you were rabbi of a community, would you want your community members, like, you know, just do whatever they want, dress them up as men or women?
If anything,
would you want them stealing from each other?
Especially when you live in chutzarets or whatever, it's right. Important to make a good impression.
100%. And in that light, there was a big statement, I think last week, that Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky from Philadelphia, one of the big rabbis in America, so he came out with a big thing saying that if not, you're not allowed to drink on Purim. At least you're not allowed to get drunk on Purim. That's what he said, I think.
Not allowed to get drunk.
What?
My rabbi said that as well.
Rishon is a very, very big rabbi. He's worried because what's happening today, people that are getting drunk are taking things a little bit too far. You have to be careful. Yes, can you get drunk in a good way? And is it, you know, mitzvah important? Maybe the answer is yes, but he realizes, you look around, certainly kids in high school that, you know, do not act properly on Purim, a lot of that is because they see that getting drunk is good on Purim. What do they do? Unfortunately, they get themselves into way too much trouble. That's a serious, serious problem. Anyway, so that's going to be the question here as well. So let's continue. Okay, let's continue. So if we go on here, we'll see that a lot of the Achronim were very sympathetic to what Tova is saying, and they didn't like it very much. Okay. First, source number 6. All right, this is not exactly about Purim, but it's a very similar case. This is the Shiur Bracha written by the Chida, one of the early Achronim. He says the following. Ein ha'kel lebosh ish simla isha. One cannot be lenient for a man to wear a garment of a woman, behachabeth, and the opposite. Afilu besimchas chasam v'kala. What does that mean? Right, let's say that you want to go dance in front of, you're at a wedding, okay, and you want to go dance in front of a chasam v'kala. So what do? You go, you make a fool out of yourself, you jump around, you turn over on your head, you know, bringing you these fire things and toss them into your mouth, right? Who knows what, all sorts of stuff, right? Let's say that you want to dress up as a man, okay?
Don't do that in my wedding.
Okay, so today, you're right, Barbara. Today it's not so common. Anything to entertain, anything goes. So today it's not so common to dress up, you know, to do this type of cross-dressing. But in those times, apparently it was. And therefore, the Chida says that one should not be lenient. And then he says, who said that, Barbara? Who's the first one to say that we shouldn't do this? Heard the Rambam? Go Sephardim, right?
Yeah.
The Rambam says this is bad. Quoted in a different sefer, that basically the Rambam himself was very against the practice at the time, apparently, that people had of dressing up, men dressing up as women, and vice versa, at weddings. Now let me ask you a question. Okay, if you want to say, if it's really awesome to do at a wedding, what would you say the halacha should be on Purim?
Probably
the same thing, right?
As well.
Exactly. The same reason why you're doing it at the wedding is based on the same idea of why you're doing it on Purim. So these opinions here, quoted in the Chida, would seem to be also true about Purim, but they also would agree that on Purim, you can't do this. Yes?
But wedding, for example, is that putting on a wig, is that considered?
So that's a great question. According to the Shulchan Aruch we saw before, remember what he said about just putting on one type of garment? Even if the rest of you looks like
nowadays,
the Shulchan Aruch in the halachas of dressing up of lo yilbash gever, that halacha he says that that's completely problematic. And I'll see in a minute that it could be that that the Mishnah Berurah might disagree. Maybe you might distinguish. We'll get to that in just a minute. Yes.
In like modern society nowadays, it's not that uncommon for like say a man to wear a wig or a woman to wear jeans or do you know what I mean? Like, as in practices have changed since the Rambam's time.
Correct. Okay, so the Rambam did not talk about a wicked. The Rambam was simply talking about any situation which would normally be usur based on this principle. Okay, whatever would be clearly a woman's garment would be usur for a man to wear. In terms of the specific applications, I'll just take a minute to talk about it now briefly. Okay, so when was the last time you saw a man wear a wig, like a shekel type wig?
You know, they wear those things to cover their bodice. Yes, they're not,
it's
not like a proper long wig.
Right. I think that that's, there's a big difference between them. I would be very surprised if I saw a man wearing a shingle.
There's a big difference.
There's a big difference. Okay, we sometimes my kids joke around and I take my wife's shingle and I put it on.
There's people on the internet that wear wigs on her.
I'm poor.
Yeah,
that's our question. I'm poor. But the rest of the year is not normal for a man to wear a woman's wig, a woman's shingle. Okay, it's not normal. Not normal. A toupee are certain kinds of things that men would wear, maybe, but not that type of thing. I think that would definitely be a problem. According to what you saw so far in the Shulchan Aruch, that would seem to be a problem. In terms of pants, so pants we know, pants is a machlokas. Okay, this, again, that wasn't the topic of the shiur here, but since it's by definition part of the topic. The bottom line here is like this, okay? It's a machlokas opposed to whether women today are allowed to wear pants or not. Okay, are you familiar with this machlokas?
Yeah.
Okay, some posts say that it's definitely not allowed because it's clear that pants are for men and pants are not for women, and it's definitely a problem by getting shot. Other posts say maybe not, maybe today it's, you know, assumed enough that that enough women wear pants out there in society that it would not necessarily be a problem if women wear pants, and, you know, it doesn't qualify because it's something which applies to both, you know, for men and for women. It's both. It's not just a Daganish. Halacha Maisa, again, if you ask me, this is what most Rabbanim say. Most Rabbanim say that even if you would argue that halachally it's permitted, it's not considered to be a mark of a Bas Yisrael, of a Bat Torah, and somebody, again, even if it's not exactly an issue of tzniyus, but at the end of the day, a certain feeling of who you are and what you want to present yourself to the world as basically would mandate that you probably should not wear pants, at least certainly if you're out in public, even if in private you would. But again, I'm not saying that's halacha, that's my personal opinion, which again, we can discuss at length some other time if you'd like.
Yeah.
So again, halachically, the posts that are matir would be matir specifically for loose pants that are not that tight. If they're too tight, they probably would say that it's usur. Not just it's a bad idea, it's probably usur. Okay? That's probably not sanua. But if it's loose, so then posts can, you know, that's machloka. Some would say that it's okay. Others would say that others would say it's more problematic. And then you still have a question, even if it's okay, is that the mark, is that the way you want to present yourself to the world? You know, if you're showing that you're, you know, you want to be like on a bit of a higher level as, an Orthodox person, Orthodox female, maybe, you know, it's still... You know, what to talk about, that maybe you shouldn't. Okay, we'll leave it at that for now. Good. All right. So let's go on here. So we have the Chida. The Chida is definitely, you know, it's not in favor of this type of practice. Let's look at...
Source 7.
We're actually going to skip the Mishnah Berurah for now and come back to it in just a minute. It's source number 8. Okay, this is the Taz. The Taz is one of the commentaries on Yoredeya. The Taz says the following. On the Shulchan Aruch, we saw before. So he says, L'tadet isha mashma derech idur v'kishur asur. This is an interesting point, which we're not going to get into now, but basically, he says that you're not allowed to dress up as, let's say, as a woman, or a woman as a man, if it's done in a way which makes you look nice, as jewelry or something which makes you look, you know, like you want to look. But if you're only doing it because it's cold outside, or because it's raining, and that's why you're putting on the other type of bag, and then the Taz holds that it's permitted. That's the basis, by the way, of what we said before. The some posts when they say that it's permitted for women to wear pants today, that's what they base it on. Okay, that it's not, they're not doing it for the kishut, to look nice as jewelry, or things like that. They're doing it for other types of more, let's say, more practical reasons. He says, Kei Dirali Pasha, that's obvious to me. The Chei Mashma, and that seems as well. For a man to get a haircut in front of a mirror, even though normally it actually might be problematic for a man to do that, but he says that's permitted when you need to do that. Halacha l'maaseh said today, things might be different anyway. And we're going to leave that aside for now. Now look at the rest. Yeah, any question? I just said, again, I was just in passing, the Taz is saying that there is a case where even though normally it's actually might be prohibited for a man to look inside in a mirror when he's working, you know, fixing his hair. Oh, he's just saying that the first part, that if you wear, let's say, Begad Isha because it's cold outside, or because it's hot, or because it's raining, and not because you want to look nice, and you want to look like a woman, let's say if you're a man, so then that's not necessarily problematic. Okay. But now, look what he says here. Orach Chaim, so a tough race to study about. Hey, the Ramad, Ramad quotes the Afil Ubne Simchas Purim Aminav Lahatir Bazeh. Okay, that's what we saw before in the Ramad. Afagav Yesh Osrim, even though some people say that it's forbidden, the Ramad says the custom is to permit it. But then he quotes the Bach, Mor v'chamizal, that's the Bach. There's katav sheish le'sorzeh. You have to forbid it. And he quotes, hey, v'rayi masha katav ha-rabi olazim, he mitz the sefer yireim, another one of the Rishonim, le'sor la'sos came, that it's not allowed, v'nesim chaschasono kala. In the case of the wedding, the sefer yireim is another source which says that it is not allowed. V'ashomeh le'sor, the person who listens to the rabbis and says, "Don't, I won't do it, tavo ala bracha, he should be blessed. Why? Now think about this for a second. You have to explain why is he saying that it's usher. Okay. according to the Taz said that if you wear, let's say if you're a man, you wear women's clothing because it's cold outside or because it's hot, whatever it is that okay, he says?
Yeah.
It's permitted. Why? Why is it permitted? Take it, Isha. What's the problem? What's the reason why? So therefore, what's the reason? The reason why you did it? And not for?
Well, the other reason I think that was prohibited.
Exactly. Not because of mingling. Not because of what it might lead to. Right? So the Taz says that's okay. So then what's the problem with Purim? Why does he think that him and the Bakwai think it's also around Purim? If not for the Shem Niyuf.
Because it could be.
So, say again?
Maybe it could be. What
would you say?
Maybe it could be.
Okay, so if that's really your intention, then everybody would agree that it's Osir. Okay, if you'd want to dress up as a man on Purim because you want to go into Nebi Yeshiva.
Eretz HaTzvi.
You want to go into Eretz HaTzvi? I wonder why we said that. you want to go into Eretz HaTzvi and hang out and dance with the boys and read the Megillah with them and everything, then I would say that you are not allowed to dress up as a boy on Purim. Halachala. Asur D'oraisa. Okay, Asur D'oraisa. Asur D'oraisa. It's only done as soon as Purim, it's, you know, whatever. If I have a good time, then maybe it's okay. But that's the question then. If the Taz is agreeing that it's okay if it's not done for the reason of, you know, of Neo for intermingling and for, you know, adulterous purposes, then why should he have a problem with Purim? So you know what he says? He explains to you why. He says, Ki yesh harbi nichsholot chas v'shalom yizeh, because there are many cases that you could stumble, you could fall, chas v'shalom, kisholotim v'yachad, when people go together, b'li heker isha v'isha. When people walk together without recognizing who's a man and who's a woman, there are a lot of bad things that could happen from that. Okay? Now let me back up for a second and explain this. Okay, there's two reasons why it could be usher to dress up, let's say for a man to dress up as a woman on Purim. Reason number one is that maybe you hold that it's usher bichlal, meaning you don't agree with the heter that it's done for, you know, not l'shem you if it's okay. Okay, that's one possible reason. And that's what the Sefer Yeram probably holds. Say again? Again, there's two possible reasons why you might say it's usher on Purim. The first reason is that you disagree with all the opinions that said that if you wear, let's say, women's clothing, if you're a man, only for the purpose of, you know, protection or for simcha, whatever it is, that it's okay. So one thing is you might disagree with that. Some posts would say that's not allowed. It doesn't matter. Okay, yes, it's true that it's not l'shem ni'uf, but it's still usher. Okay, that's one possible reason why you might disagree. All right. What he's saying here is a different point. Okay, he's saying a different reason here. He's saying the Taz agrees that if you do it, let's say, for, you know, for protection or for the rain, it's okay. Because it's not l'shem ni'uf, it's not for adulterous purposes, it's still okay. The Taz yet, at the same time, also says that on Purim it's usher. Why is that? Because he's afraid. He's afraid what might happen. Okay, not that, yes, I agree with you. I accept what you're saying. I know that you're firm, I know that you're honest, you're not doing it l'shem ni'uf, you don't want to become a boy, you don't want to go to Eretz HaTzvi. Right? I understand that. You're staying in Midrash Yehud and you're not going anywhere. Okay? No problem. But we're still afraid. We're still afraid. What might happen? Barbara, if you go outside, get on the bus.
A boy could pull my hand.
Good. Do you think I'm crazy?
Around the tour.
Do you think I'm crazy? Let me tell you a story. Okay.
Is this real?
Yes. A student of mine in a different seminary told me this story just the other day, actually. So
which
she had a friend. And then why? It's her friend, not her. A friend, okay? A friend, somebody that she knows. I don't know who it is. Somebody she knows decided to dress up as a boy on Purim. All right? Very nice. Okay. So what did she do? So this girl, you know, really dressed up as a boy, okay? Well, she went all out, okay? She got the beard, maybe a little bit of payas. She put on a kippah, you know, she wore pants. Yeah, she really looked like a boy, okay? So much so that guess where she sat at during the Megillah reading?
In the men's section.
She sat in the men's section.
Are you serious?
Can you believe that? She actually sat in the men's section. Wow, she was afraid that if she would sit in the women's section, people might get upset. Hey, she's not Orthodox. Get out of the shul. You're conservative, right? You want to sit in the same place as the women. So she sat in the men's section. Okay,
she
very interesting. What? So no one knew who she was. They didn't realize. But afterward, they had a little bit of a party at the shul. They had dancing. Okay, so a few of her friends didn't know who she was. So she danced. Did she dance with the men? No, she didn't dance with the men. She's Shomer Negina, okay, I think. Okay, so she didn't dance with the men, but she danced with some of her friends. So, in the middle of dancing with her friends, she feels a tap on her shoulder. Tap, tap, tap. Looks around. Guess who it is?
Rabbi.
It's the rabbi. Excuse me, I'm sorry, but we don't have mixed dancing in this synagogue. So what does she do? She pulls off her mask and shows who she is, and the rabbi looks at her. Oops. Sorry, I made a little mistake. All right. Anyway. Anyway, I don't know what shul that was, and again, it's true.
I bet it was in America.
What'd you say?
I bet it was in America.
Yes, it was not in England, Torah. Do not worry. It was not in England. Not in England. They would never do that in England, right? God forbid. God forbid. Not in the United Synagogues, right? God forbid. Okay. Anyway, so again, is tapping really considered to be the worst form of shohar of Yom Nikiyah? It might still be. It's probably still Osir. It's probably still Osir. It was the rabbi. Okay. So when you say, when the Taz says here that there are things that might happen, that if you're not careful, you never know what might happen. Nicholos, you're going to stumble, there are going to be problems. There might be problems, and you have to be really, really careful. And this is a really good reason. Even if you hold that, luckily it could be mutter, that's a really good reason why it's not a good idea to dress up for a man to dress up as a woman on Purim. All right? Now that case, keep in mind, that case is when she was fully dressed up. Fully dressed up. Nobody could tell. Nobody could tell who she was.
Right.
All right. Good. Let's look at one or two more sources here. Two more sources here. Go back to source number 7, Mishnah Berurah now. What does Mishnah Berurah say? How does Mishnah Berurah paskin here? What is he paskin? Look at source number 7. He says, Ayen Yoredes on Kufpe Beis. Shekosu Shema Taz Veshema Bach. That the Taz quotes the Bach that we just read. Sheyesh Levach Til Min Hagzeh. That we should abolish this custom. Hey, but Purim over some custom is on Purim and at a wedding. The custom, sorry, Ber HaGola. Shem the Ber HaGola, one of the other commentaries there, says the same thing. All right? Get rid of it. Abolish it. It's not good. All right? And he accepts, it's true that the Ramah says that the custom is that many people do it, but the Mishnah Berurah says from the Taz and the Bach, is this a good custom or a bad custom?
Bad.
A bad custom. That's what he says. Get rid of it. However, he's got one interesting point here. He says, "V'kol bushim shall ish rak malbush echad shall ish lo v'nikarim him." Let's say the case that she asked before, where she just puts on either pants or she puts on payas or whatever it is, right? And it's obvious that she's still a female. On Purim, you know what he says? Efshar she'ein l'mechot b'hem. He says, "Efshar." What does Efshar mean?
It's possible.
It's possible she'ein l'mechot b'hem. What does that mean?
There's no argument.
Close. Limchot means to protest. Maybe you don't have to protest. Meaning, if you see a girl coming to the shul and you know that she's a girl and she's dressed up as a boy, okay, if you're the rabbi, according to the Mishnah, what should you do? Don't tap her on the shoulder, obviously, but go over to her and tell her, you know, again, I don't know if she'll listen, which means you have to be careful, but in theory, if the person would listen, then you should go over and tell him this is not a good thing, you should abolish the custom. But he says, if it's clear that she's a girl, but she decided to put on some pants, so she put on a stride or whatever it is, so then already he says, maybe, now you don't have to protest, maybe that's not so bad. Why is that? Give me the reason now. What do you think? Why do you think that might be okay?
Because you can still tell.
Therefore what?
There's no chance of it.
Ah, so therefore the mechsholim, the concerns that we have, that maybe they're going to get mixed up and you're not going to know somebody, some guys will come over on the bus and give you a big hug, right? So, God forbid, right?
That's not fair. That's what you're saying, because if you're saying that I'm wearing pants is not so noir the whole year, but then on one night it is.
So it depends. So again, I'm not sure if I would say this for wearing pants, okay? I don't think I would say that for wearing pants. But certainly for putting on payas or a strimal or something like that, that I could hear. Again, he doesn't say that it's mutter. He says maybe if they do it, you don't have to protest. It's like sort of one level less than permitting it. He doesn't say it's permitted. He says maybe you don't have to protest. Maybe there's more to rely on because it's clear that she's not going to be mixed up. So the mishcholim, the possible pitfalls, you know, that exist might not exist as much. Number 9. Okay, mashenagu b'yom kadmoni. All right, what the Aruch HaShulchan says. Now, this is the Aruch HaShulchan, similar to Mishnah, where he says, well, the Ramah said it, the custom was that it was okay in his times. He says, the Aruch HaShulchan says, the custom that they had in those times, at least just part 2, that they had shatneis and shalish l'isha, that they had shatneis and drabonim, and they had men dressing up as women, etc., etc. Achshav lo nagu ken. The Aruch HaShulchan says, today, in his time, 100 years ago, the custom was, they didn't do that. Okay, he says, if you damage something, you got to pay. That today, with our sins, arva kol simcha, we don't celebrate Purim the way they used to. When they used to celebrate Purim, when they used to dress up, when they used to steal, they were really into it. Imagine these great rabbis. Imagine what they were thinking on Purim. They weren't going crazy. They weren't fooling around. They weren't like acting like silly fools and doing shtus. They were, Simcha's Purim was real. You could really feel it. Today, the Aruch HaShulchan says, we don't know what we're doing. Okay, yeah, we're happy. We're not really happy. We don't really know what it's all about. So if we don't really have Simcha in the same way anyway, then certainly you can't allow us to be doing these kinds of things. And therefore, he says, the custom in his time already that is not done. And certainly, therefore, he says that you shouldn't do it. Okay, meaning even if in the Ramah's time, the custom was that many people did it, today, where the custom does not exist as much anymore, he says, for sure, you can't do it. So the question is, today in our times, what is the custom? Is the custom that people do it or do not do it?
You do.
I think it depends where. I think it depends how much. I've definitely seen it before, but... Exactly, to what extent. So I would say that if the custom is to do it today, I would say most customs are only to do it at least for one or two things. But not to fully dress up that you really can't tell who the person is. That's what I would say. But again, I'm willing to hear the other side. I could just tell you that as we've seen, most of the Achbar, most of the later posts are very against this. Even if it's not 100% possible, but most of them are very not in favor of it. The only heter is we saw the Mishnah Berurah, that maybe you don't have to protest if they're just doing it with one garment and not with, you know, a full dress up. But even there, he didn't say it was permitted. He said maybe you don't have to protest. This is definitely, you know, something which is, if you ask me, this is definitely worth worthwhile to avoid. It's definitely not something which a Ben Torah or a Bat Torah should, you know, should be doing. Again, if it happens, okay. So, you know, we have some opinions to rely on, but at the end of the day, halacha l'maaseh, it seems to me that this is not such a good idea. If you look at source number 10, so Rabbi Jaster here, give me one second, Rabbi Jaster, source number 10, in his article, I just gave you a little summary here in English, he quotes a lot of the sources we mentioned. He basically says also that the custom today is that this is definitely a problem. And I have one more point that I wanted to make, but before I do that, Jack, you had a question.
Well, when the earlier post came out,
that's a great question. Apparently, in those times, the custom was more prevalent than people did it. Today, when it's less prevalent, so the post can, you know, or the Aruch HaShulchan at least will say, if it's less prevalent anyway, we shouldn't do it. It could be also that today's times, that's what the Taz says, all the concerns that we have, the mechsholos, the things that might go wrong, maybe today we're just on a different level, as the Aruch HaShulchan said also. We don't have what they had, and today there's more concern that these things might happen, when in those times it wasn't, you know, we weren't as concerned that people were going to get mixed up and do things they shouldn't have been doing. No, so the Maharimit, it was a machlokas. Okay, Maharimit said that he thought it was okay because a lot of people did it, but we saw there was another side also. Some people said it was forbidden. So today, we've taken on the more stringent approach, which again, in today's society, I would definitely say that that's, you know, that makes sense to follow that that approach, given, you know, the nature of today's society out there today. You know, it's, I think it's very obvious that you have to be, these are the kind of issues that you want to be really careful about. Last question, okay, you're not married yet. For those of us who are married, okay, has anybody seen kids, little kids, five-year-old kids, go out dressed as boys or boys dressed as girls? Say that? Not so much. I actually have seen it quite a bit. So not a lot, but a little. It's definitely more common. So the shaila is it okay for the kids? Even if you said the parents shouldn't do it,
no.
Is it okay for the kids to do it? So Tova says absolutely not.
Oh my god, just because it's cruel.
Good. So, Tova.
Yeah.
Guess who agrees with you? I don't have it on the source here, unfortunately. Guess who agrees with you?
Barbara?
No, you're close though. Another great Sephardi authority today. It's live today.
Say?
Very good. Ravadi Yosef. Again, it's only 3 lines. I didn't photocopy it for you. Ravadi Yosef in Chavadat. Chelek Heseman Nun has a whole tshuva about this. He's very against dressing up. And then he says, V'nirash ad gedolim u'shar malak tanim shalahalvish hayeladim b'gedai yaldot. He says that not only is it held for adults, he says that the adults also, the parents, have to be careful not to let their children wear garments for the boys to wear garments of the girls. Why? Mishum mitzvah chinuch.
Education.
Chinuch reason. Sharafilu b'isum mitzvah so from us from the mitzvah of Yadayim. Even for rabbinical prohibition, you can't directly help a child do something which is rabbinically prohibited. The Lachani says, "Gam liyan yisur lo yep legever al yishav liyvash gever sum lo yishav liyish lazir gedol malatan." Here also, he says, if this is really an isur of beged isha, which he believes that it is, therefore you cannot, as a parent, you cannot let your child go and dress up, your boy child dress up as a girl, or your girl child dress up as a boy. Okay, that's what Ravadi says. I should know there might be another opinion about this. There's a book that I have by Rabbi Harari from Merkaz Harav called Mikrei Kodesh. It's a green book. So he quotes, I was going to put it on the sheet here, but again, I don't have enough time. Basically, he says here, he agrees that that the custom today is not to be lenient about this, but most people that are Yerei Shamayim do not dress up as women. But he says that for Katanim, he seems to think that for Katanim, the custom still is that some people dress up, that for the children they do dress up. So here, I already have a legitimate difference of opinion. Here, I think there's more reason to say that, you know, if you want to be lenient, you know, I don't know if I'd recommend it, but you know, there's more of a split here that some people would say the custom for children is to be more lenient, and for adults is to be more machmir. Okay, any questions?
How old is his opinion?
What do you mean by that?
How long ago did he say that?
How long ago did he publish it? That's a good question. It's in Chelek Hei Yechavet Dad. I don't know. Yeah. I'm actually not sure. Maybe 30 years ago? I don't know exactly. A while ago.
Like recent.
Yeah, no. Yeah. No, he would still, I think he would, I don't think he took this back. I think he still agrees with that 100%. And he says in the Sephardi world, the Sephardim apparently never had this custom of dressing up, right? Even the custom that we saw the Maori mentioned from the Ashkenazim, I think he says that the Sephardim, he didn't think ever had that custom. So certainly for Sephardim, Rav Avadia does not think this is a good idea.
Yeah. Thank you.
Guess what? Bodies.